This morning then we concluded looking at yogic direct valid cognizance, and we've looked at the various components of the definition, and the definition being an other-knowing exalted knower in the continuum of an area that independence upon the stabilization that is a union of calm-abiding and meditative insight and its uncommon empowering condition newly and directly realizes either subtle impermanence or the coarse or subtle selflessness of persons. And then we also, in particular this morning, we looked at the three objects of a yogic direct valid cognizer, namely subtle impermanence, and then coarse and subtle selflessness of persons. And it's when we generate a yogic direct valid cognizer itself that we start to abandon our afflicted minds. And that is because this yogic direct valid cognizer is the antidote to the afflicted minds. Now we come to the next section. So we're coming to part C. We've looked at A and B. A was the was direct perceivers, and then B was a subdivision of A, the direct valid cognizers. And now we come, still staying with direct perceivers, we look at those which are similitudes to direct perceivers. So our text, the translation I used was facsimile, but for the sake of impermanence, I've changed this now to similitude, as this more correctly reflects the meaning. This section is about consciousnesses that are similitudes of direct perceivers, or consciousnesses that are similar to direct perceivers. So other ways that you can that this word tarnang, which here we have now a similitude before a facsimile, which is the more common translation. Other ways it can be translated is as a counterfeit or superficial, or perhaps a likeness to a direct perceiver. So this is the meaning of a similitude, something which is resembled to a direct perceiver, that's a synonym, or is similar to, or is a likeness of. So that is the meaning of similitude. So it's a consciousness that is similar to a direct perceiver, but not a direct perceiver. The similitudes of direct perceiver has starts with the definition as well as divisions. What is the definition or the meaning of a similitude of a direct perceiver? A knower that is mistaken with regard to its appearing object. As we saw earlier in section A, as opposed to C, in that definition of a direct perceiver, it's unmistaken. Here, it's mistaken. Hence, it is not a direct perceiver, but a similitude of a direct perceiver. We see here this key component of the definition of a similitude of a direct perceiver, a knower that is mistaken with regard to its appearing objects. So the appearing objects is misperceived, is apprehended in a mistaken way, or engaged, you know, maybe appears in a mistaken way. There's an error to do with the appearing object. Hence, this is not an unmistaken knower, it's not a direct perceiver, because it is mistaken. Before we come to the divisions, then, we have a synonym for a similitude of a direct perceiver, and that is a mistaken consciousness. So when you hear the term similitude of a direct perceiver, immediately call to mind, this is a consciousness that is mistaken.
The
similitudes of a direct perceiver, which are knowers that are mistaken with regard to their appearing objects, have seven divisions, of which six are conceptual, and there's the seventh division, which is non-conceptual.
Six similitudes
of direct perceivers that are conceptual, and we have these here listed 1 to 6. So I'll read them with alternative translations. What we have here is fine. It's just though to give a more of a flavor to what is meant. So mistaken conception, where we see conception, take this as an abbreviation for conceptual consciousness. So wherever here we're seeing the word conception, take it as conceptual consciousness. And mistaken conception, or a mistaken conceptual consciousness, conventional conceptual consciousness. The third one, inferring conceptions, or conceptions leading to an inference. And the fourth, conceptions arisen from inference, conceptual consciousnesses arising after an inference. Memory conceptions, or conceptions arising from memory. Wishing conceptions, or conceptions projecting into the future. So as we go through them, I'll repeat those alternative translations again. and immediately below the six divisions of conceptual similitudes of direct perceivers, we have their illustrations. So the first one then, the illustration of mistaken conceptual consciousness, is a conceptual consciousness apprehending sound as permanent. This morning we heard that sound is in actual fact impermanent, which means, being impermanent, it changes momentarily, and secondly, it comes about in dependence on causes and conditions. But where there is a conceptual consciousness that apprehends sound as being permanent, this is a consciousness that apprehends sound as not changing momentarily, not arising from causes, something that is unchanging. And this is a mistaken consciousness. The consciousness apprehending sound as permanent is a mistaken consciousness as well as a wrong consciousness. So this first division is also wrong. So sound is of course impermanent because it arises in dependence on causes and conditions and changes momentarily. But the conceptual consciousness that believes sound to be permanent is mistaken and wrong. And there are many illustrations of these, such as when we're talking this morning about selflessness. Firstly, how does the self appear? And if the self appears as being, for example, permanent, unitary and independent, so core selflessness, and then it's a conceptual consciousness grasps at it as existing in this way, then that is a consciousness, a conceptual consciousness, that is both mistaken and wrong. Another illustration would be the conceptual consciousness that grasps at the self as existing self-sufficiently and self-existent. That is a conceptual consciousness that too is wrong and mistaken. And there are many other illustrations. For example, the conceptual consciousness that believes that rabbits have a horn, that believes in horns of a rabbit. This is wrong and mistaken. As is where one believes that an object in the distance, one's conceptual consciousness that believes that that object in the distance, which is really a rock, is actually a person. That conceptual consciousness is both wrong and mistaken. We have on our continuum many wrong consciousnesses. These are just some illustrations, but there are many. And having a wrong consciousness means that it is wrong and mistaken, so it cannot realize its object because it apprehends in a way that it doesn't exist and it's mistaken. So where our consciousnesses are wrong, they are also mistaken, and that means they cannot realize their object.
So
That was then looking at the first of the six mistaken conceptions, and now the second, conventional conceptions or conventional conceptual consciousnesses. So this has an illustration, an inferential cognizer that realizes sound to be impermanent. So the illustration here again is an inferential cognizer that realizes sound being impermanent. So this is an inferential cognizer. So this division that we still to come to, but refer to this morning. So inferential cognizers are conceptual, they are all conceptual, and they fall under this category of conventional conceptions. An inferential cognizer that realizes sound to be impermanent. So this being a similitude of a direct perceiver, we know it is mistaken because that is part of the definition, but it is not wrong because sound is impermanent. So it's mistaken, but it is not wrong. Why is it not wrong? Because sound is impermanent. Why is it though mistaken? Because it's a similitude of a direct perceiver, which means it is mistaken with regard to its appearing object. So what does it mean that this inferential cognizer that realizes sound is impermanent is mistaken with regard to its appearing object? The appearing object is not impermanent sound, it's rather a meaning generality of impermanent sound. And this meaning generality of impermanent sound and impermanent sound appear as mixed to this conceptual consciousness. And saying that these two objects, the meaning generality of impermanent sound and then impermanent sound itself, saying that these two appear as mixed means that the conceptual consciousness cannot differentiate between them. They seem as the same thing. There's two things appearing as if it was one. So this is what it means as if to say that impermanent sound and the meaning generality of impermanent sound appear mixed.
Tremitabo to be Jeba, the 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 그런 거 뭐 지금 지신 세부도 난 거 말 전신은 제 직 귀인신의 전신단 제는 나도 보인다.
When you're talking about the yogic direct valid cognizer realizing subtle impermanence. So if it was realizing, say, the subtle impermanence of sound, this being a yogic direct valid cognizer means it's a direct perceiver, which means the object, impermanent sound, is realized directly. Realized directly means there is no meaning generality. It means, if it's realized directly, it means it's a direct perception. And it's not a conceptual consciousness. That means, being a direct perception, the object appears clearly to the consciousness. If it's a direct perception, the object itself is realized, and it's realized and appears and is realized clearly. When it's not a direct perception, but it's a conceptual consciousness, such as we're looking at here, conceptual similitudes of direct perceivers. When it's a conceptual consciousness as opposed to a direct perceiver, it means there is a meaning generality. And the meaning generality appears as mixed with the actual object, impermanent sound. And the meaning generality then serves to obscure the object a bit. It's kind of like if you have an object and it's covered with a cloth, you still know what the object is, but you're not directly observing the object because it's obscured by this cloth. So that is what happens when one has a conceptual realization rather than a direct realization. A conceptual realization, the object is obscured slightly by being mixed with the meaning generality. Whereas the direct perceiver directly realize the object without any interference from an obscuring meaning generality. So therefore the essence or the entity of the object is realized. Whereas if it's not a direct perceiver, but a conceptual consciousness, the essence or the entity of the object is obscured, is covered by the meaning generality. And that is the difference between an inferential realization and a direct realization, with inferential being a conceptual
realization.
There's some fabrics which are very fine, very sheer. And if we think of perhaps if someone's wearing a top with a sleeve, and the fabric of that sleeve is very fine, so you can see through it quite clearly, and you can see the naked arm underneath this fabric. You can see the arm. The object being the arm is realized, but it is slightly obscured by this fabric, so you're not seeing the arm completely as it is. It is slightly obscured by the presence of this very fine fabric. So this can be likened then to a conceptual consciousness that is an inferential cognizer, and that is realizing its object, here the arm, but it is obscured by the meaning generality, which means the meaning generality appears as mixed with the actual object to this conceptual consciousness. So therefore the object is realized, but it is remains obscured by the meaning generality. Whereas if then that person takes off off the top or rolls up the sleeve, then that arm that before one was observing, now one can see directly. It's no longer obscured by that very fine fabric. And that then would be a direct perception, where the object, the arm, is directly realized by a sense direct perceiver. Whereas if, and now again to go to the conceptual consciousness, the object would still be realized by an inferential cognizer, but it comes mixed with, obscured by, the essence of the object is obscured by the presence of the meaning generality, which appears as mixed and therefore obscures the object, in the same way as this fine fabric obscures the arm. All similitudes of direct perceivers, as we know from the definition, are mistaken. So therefore, all the illustrations that we'll see, all seven, they are mistaken. Of the two we've looked at, the first one, mistaken conceptual consciousnesses, are not only mistaken, but they are also wrong. The second one that we're looking at now, conventional conceptual consciousnesses, are mistaken, but not wrong. So that is what differentiates the first two. The first is, in addition to being mistaken, is wrong. The second is not wrong. It's conventional conceptions are merely mistaken. Now hopefully it's clear the difference between the first and second illustration. And we've seen with the second illustration that an inferential cognizer is a conceptual consciousness, because this whole division is conceptual consciousnesses, and it is mistaken. So it's mistaken, and it's a conception, conceptual consciousness, an inferential cognizer. So if someone asks the question, is an inferential cognizer a conceptual consciousness? Yes. Is it a mistaken consciousness? Yes, because all conceptual consciousnesses are. So therefore, is it not the first division, which is a mistaken consciousness? a mistaken conception, because it has both of those characteristics. A inferential cognizer is mistaken. It is a conception. So is it not then the first division, mistaken conception? And the answer is no. Inferential cognizer is mistaken, and it's a conception, but it's not a mistaken conception. Now you see why the translator gets a bit confused. Yeah. So therefore, one needs to understand the topic well. So when you hear about a mistaken conception, you know that it means it's also wrong, although that's not explicitly stated.
Somebody
Then we come to the third one, inferring conceptions, or a clearer translation, conceptual consciousnesses leading to an inference, or conceptual consciousnesses that are a cause for an inferential consciousness. An illustration we have in the third, a conceptual consciousness that is a mind apprehending a reason. Let's give an illustration then of the illustration to make it clearer. If we observe a building, and we think to ourselves, I wonder if there's a fire inside that building. We can see no fire, but we see smoke. So we know that smoke is a result of fire. Fire is a cause of smoke. So by seeing smoke coming from this building, without knowing fire, we can have an inferential cognizer that realizes that there is fire inside the building because we can see the result of fire. Before one gives rise to this inferential cognizer, we have this third illustration, a conception leading to an inference, or a conception that is the cause for an inference, which is, oh, there's smoke, and smoke is a result of fire. So before one realizes that there is fire because there's smoke, the thought process just before that is this third illustration. One gives rise to a conceptual consciousness from which one will give rise to an inferential valid cognizer. So it's just preceding the inferential cognizer.
Mm-hmm. 제대로
So therefore, one can say that if one sees smoke, one can have great confidence that there is fire, because smoke is a result of fire. So that would be a correct reason, and just before one gives rise to the inferential cognizer realizing that there is fire, independent from the reason of seeing smoke, one will give rise to this inferring conception, or a conception leading to an inference. So whilst that seeing smoke is a correct reason for there being, or a valid reason, a correct reason for there being fire, seeing fire, though, isn't necessarily a reason for there to be smoke. The illustration doesn't work both ways. One debates, one can have fun with this, because the reason that we can say that if you see fire, when you debate, we can have a lot of fun with this, because someone who's smoking, smoking a cigarette, will blow smoke from their mouth. It doesn't necessarily mean that there is fire within them. We'll soon come to look at inferential valid cognizers, which are so this is the next division, and these will also have a division of subsequent cognizers. So the subsequent cognizer will be preceded by a valid cognizer. Valid cognizers will be preceded by inferring conceptions, what we're looking at here, this third illustration. And so there may be many different kinds of valid cognizers, and before one gives rise to an actual valid cognizer, one may have a variety of inferring conceptions. And before one gives rise to a more powerful realization, a more powerful valid cognizer, then one will then one could have need to have perhaps a number of inferring conceptions beforehand.
Then
And the fourth one then, conceptions arising from inference, or maybe more clearly translated, conceptual consciousnesses arising after an inference or an inferential cognizer. So this then refers to the subsequent cognizers, so those second and subsequent moments that follow an inference. So the third was just before and the fourth is just after. The fifth one, memory conceptions or conceptions arising from memory. So these, we have an illustration here, a conceptual consciousness that today remembers an object of the past. So this is our memory consciousnesses recalling past events, recalling past events. And then the final of the six, wishing conceptions or conceptual consciousnesses projecting into the future. So instead of wishing, we can use terms like longing or hoping for. So this is about one's plans for the future. And so we see here with the illustration, a conceptual consciousness that today wishes for an object of the future. So making plans, thinking about the future, tomorrow I'm going to cook this, tomorrow I'm going to do that, or tonight I'm going to do this. So this is looking forward, whereas the one before was looking back.
Mm.
I'd assume amongst you there'll be those who have heard this presentation before, and the sixfold division of conceptual similitudes of direct perceivers, and there'll be some of you for whom this is brand new. So whichever of those two groups you fall into, then I would imagine most of you, though, when you look at your mind, these aren't divisions that naturally spring to mind. But nevertheless, these six types of conceptual similitudes of direct perceivers are something that are minds that we all have. We all have these differing types of conceptual similitudes of direct perceivers. So it's good, it's of great use. If one learns these six and what they mean, because with that knowledge, then one can apply it to your own way of thinking. Coming to to, because based on this knowledge, we can apply it to our own mental processes, and then come to and use this as a tool to be more mindful of our mental processes. Come to tame our mind a bit, and not have it function in such an uncontrolled way. So in other words, when we are thinking about what we're going to do later today, immediately think, there's an illustration of a wishing conception. Or when the mind goes back to something that was said, or something that was done, or something that was seen, then that's a memory conception. Or when independence on a reason, we come to realize something or understand something, that's an inferential cognizer. Then we know, I've just realized something dependent on an inferential cognizer. So that mind just before that was an inferring conception, and the subsequent moments after that were conceptions arising from inference. So in this way, we're coming to see these inner workings of our mind more clearly. We're becoming more mindful of our mental process. Our mental process is less uncontrolled due to our greater mindfulness. So this is a skillful way to utilize this knowledge that we've gained here. Coming to realizations, coming to know objects, independence on reasonings, is something that we all do a lot. It's done throughout society in a wide variety of, or in all varieties of situations. So for example, before someone commits a crime, they will have their plan, and they will have their reasons, and this will include inferential cognizers. And similarly, when the police then come to investigate, they will be using a variety of these conceptual similitudes or direct perceivers, and including certainly they'll be using their inferential cognizers. In that, independence on a reason, on a correct reason, they will come to realize the object, and they'll say, this is the reason, this is the motivation of the perpetrator. So independence on correct reasons, they'll come to realize the motivation of the perpetrator. Moreover, independence on correct reasons, they'll come to realize who the perpetrator is. So this way of thinking in the widest of variety of situations is utilized. Similarly, if we observe someone based on, for example, their facial expression, we can say, that person is furious. and now their fury or this anger is a consciousness. So we can't see their consciousness, but we can see the facial expression. So that could be a correct reason, and independent from that correct reason, if they are angry, then through an inferential cognizer, we have realized they are angry. Or independence on their speech, maybe the words they use, the tone of their words, then independent on that correct reason, we can tell their consciousness is angry. Their consciousness that is anger is manifest within them. And we tell this independence on the correct reason, their tone of speech or their choice of words. So in this way, we can give rise also to inferential cognizers. So many examples like this. We use inferential cognitions all the time. So, for example, if Lama Zopa were coming, then we know that people would line the route that he would take when he'd come, and independence on the posture that they assume, and as well as so they presumably show a posture of great reverence, and then when he approaches, some of them may show even more emotion, such as perhaps even crying. So as someone else observing the student would say, oh, independence on their respectful posture and now perhaps their tears, we can see that this person has great faith in their Lama. So here, this what is arising within us is a conceptual consciousness. It's not a direct perception. It's a conceptual consciousness that independence on the correct sign of that person's posture, that they must have great faith, the mind of faith, manifests within them now towards the object of their Lama. So this is another illustration of inferential cognizers that we easily give or often give rise to.
And in Asia, I mean, Jamnija Comventigilia, Jamnija Comche, Chick Jamje, Niji Gule, Giovaina, that the Nigir, Simje, Dungay, Navi, Simje, Chick Dam Turbata, Tonata, the Niji, Lumagin, Numjur, and a Chapatin, you are your escort, Lumagin, Numjur, Chick, Mine, Chick Chimatu, Mishu Tata, Luki, Numjur, and a
Similarly, if we observe someone who consistently relates to others, both physically and verbally, in a way that shows great gentleness and kindness, and we see that this person acts in this way in all variety of situations, always interacting with others with great kindness and gentleness, then we can say independence on the correct reason, that is their outer behavior, that their inner world, their consciousnesses, are almost certainly pervaded by love and compassion, in that they would have successfully cultivated or meditated on love and compassion, perhaps even to the degree, to the extent that they have given rise to bodhicitta. So quite possibly this person is a bodhisattva. We come to such a realization independence on the utilization of a correct reason. And this reason would, in this instance, be the consistency of their speech and their behavior in relation to others. Here's another illustration of using our intelligence, our analysis, our investigation, to come to understand an independence on the correct reasons. We come to generate inferential cognizers. So if you look then now at these six divisions of similitudes of direct perceivers that are conceptual consciousnesses. So the one thing we can bear in mind here that all conceptual consciousnesses are mistaken, and as we saw with the first of the six divisions, the conceptual consciousnesses can also be wrong. They're not all wrong, but they are all mistaken. So we've looked at this first division within similitudes of direct perceivers, which are those which are conceptual. So now we can come to the second division, which are similitudes of direct perceiver, which are non-conceptual. We're in the middle then of page 7, and we see here point number 7, or illustration number 7, non-conceptual facsimiles of a direct perceiver have two divisions, those which are mental consciousnesses and those which are sense consciousnesses. So in other words, non-conceptual similitudes of a direct perceiver can be both mental consciousnesses as well as sense consciousnesses. And then there are these two divisions, of which there are many illustrations to be found within these two divisions.
So what Genda is explaining here is making the text a little clearer, because we see here where we have the bullet point 7.1 that there are many illustrations given above. So he's saying this relates to point 7 rather than point 7.1, because we haven't covered 7.1. So he's making that clear here. So previously, a little while ago, when we looked at sense direct perceivers, we looked at the three divisions of sense direct perceivers: direct valid cognizers, the subsequent cognizers, and non-ascertaining awarenesses. So those were the three divisions of sense direct perceptions. Must be back on page 3. So we looked at those three divisions. We didn't look at wrong consciousnesses then. Now we come to wrong consciousnesses that are sense perceptions or sense consciousnesses. The way to understand this is that we see here there are two divisions, mental and sense. So let's take sense consciousnesses, such as the eye sense consciousness. So eye sense consciousness can have four divisions, three of which we looked at on page 3 under sense direct perceivers. So the first three of the four divisions of sense consciousnesses will be the first moment that the object is realized, and that's a valid cognizer. The second and subsequent moments, which are subsequent cognizers, where the object appears, but to the, in this case, the eye sense consciousness, but is not ascertained or realized, and that's the non-ascertaining awareness. So those are the same are the three subdivisions of sense direct perceiver, but we've now put these under a larger division of sense consciousness. So there are three sense direct perceivers within sense consciousnesses, and now we take a fourth one, which isn't a sense direct, it's not a direct perceiver, but it is a sense consciousness, and that is a wrong consciousness, a wrong sense consciousness, and that's where we come to now. Hence, it's a similitude of a direct perceiver and not a direct perceiver. So now looking at what we have as 7.2, with regard to non-conceptual facsimiles of a direct perceiver that are sense consciousnesses, there are four. So just to recap, if we divide sense consciousnesses into four, the first three we looked at on page 3, sense direct perceivers, which are valid, subsequent, and non-ascertaining. And then a fourth division, which is not a direct perceiver, is that which is a a similitude of a direct perceiver, and that is what we're looking at now, i.e. a wrong consciousness. For it to be a wrong consciousness means that there's an error, a fault, and that requires a cause. And now we see the four causes, and the 7.2.1. The cause of error existing in the basis, the cause of error existing in the abode, the cause of error existing in the object, and the cause of error existing in the immediately preceding condition. So these are the four causes that are the, are, these are the four that are causes of errors in the sense consciousness, making it a wrong consciousness. We're going to go through all four. And the first one, the cause of error existing in the basis, and we have as an illustration an eye impaired by obscuring disease, for a sense consciousness that sees one moon as two is produced independence on that. So what we have translated here as obscuring disease is a way it's fine, but the particular term can be translated in many ways. So with this term obscuring disease doesn't necessarily mean disease like we understand it, like illness. It can be a defect or okay, so what it means is that there's a problem in the sense power. So the sense power has a problem that causes a vision to be obscured in the case of vision. So it can be disease, it can be something else. It's a very broad term. So here, in this case, the eye sense power is wrong. When the eye sense consciousness is wrong, the fault doesn't abide in the sense consciousness, nor in the object. So in this case, the fault abides in the sense power. So the illustration is where the eye has been pressed, the eyeball has been pressed, causing some kind of obscuration and lack of clarity in the sense power. And that is now where the fault resides. Because press your eye, you look at the object, and you see two moons. The fault's not in the object. It's not that there are two moons. The fault's not in the sense consciousness. The fault is in the sense power. So that's what basis here refers to. The cause of the error exists in the basis, the cause of the error existing in the sense power. And the second one, the cause of error existing in the abode. And then what is meant here is illustrated in sitting in a boat. For a sense consciousness that sees trees as moving is produced independence upon that. So if you haven't been in a boat, but maybe you drive very fast and you look out the window and it appears as if the trees are moving. So the object, the trees appear to us as if they are moving. But this is a wrong consciousness. Trees are not moving. So where is the cause of this error? It's not in our sense power here is working fine. It's not in the object, because the trees are not moving, but it's rather in the abode, in the place. So that is where the that is what is causing the error. The second illustration there, where the cause of the error existing in the boat, so that refers to the moving car or the moving boat. That is where the error abides, in the abode. And then the third cause of error is where the error is in the object. So again, the sense power is fine. There's not a problem in the abode, but there's a fault here in the object. And that's given in as an illustration. A quickly whirled burning stick for a sense consciousness that sees a flame of a wheel of flame is produced in dependence on that. So perhaps in the dark, if some incense is lit and it's turned very quickly, and it looks like this is a circle of fire, but there is not a circle of fire. Rather, the object is not a circle of fire, but rather it's an object that's moving very quickly. So there, the cause of the error is in the object. And the fourth cause of error is that which is existing in the immediately preceding condition. You have the illustration that is given, a mind disturbed by anger for a sense consciousness that sees the world as red is produced independence on that. So here someone is clearly quite furious. They are so angry that the world appears to them as red. Now the world isn't red, so therefore this is a wrong consciousness. But where does that fault abide? It's not in the object, because the object is not red, the world is not red. The fault does not abide in the sense power is fine. The fault arises in the immediately preceding condition, or to express that differently, the immediately preceding mental consciousness. So just before seeing the world red, there's the mental consciousness of intense anger. And independence on this intense anger, or this immediately preceding condition, then the sense consciousness perceives the world to be red. So that is the cause of the fault here, the immediately preceding condition, or to express it differently, the mental consciousness of anger.
I didn't hear it.
Sense consciousness is that our facsimiles of direct perceivers have as a cause of their error these four: the basis, the abode, the objects, or the immediately preceding condition. Where this is so important is that we come to see that these mistaken consciousnesses come about independence of causes and conditions. Causes such as a fault of error existing in the basis, or in the boat, or in the object, or in the immediately preceding condition. These mistaken consciousnesses are not inherently existent, but come about independence on causes and conditions. How is this of great use to know? What is the purpose of this knowledge that you're acquiring here? So we see that our sense consciousnesses can be mistaken, they can be wrong. And this is important to gain great familiarity with, because we tend to have overly strong confidence in our sense consciousnesses. But we see here there can be similitudes of direct perceivers, not actually direct perceivers. This means that they can be wrong. And where this becomes an error is when we believe that what we have perceived is correct. So it's the mistaken or the wrong perception itself is not the grave error. The grave error is believing what we perceive. It's where we take as what we perceive as correct, as valid, as real. This is our error. And from this many faults come. So when it was mentioned a moment ago that these sense direct perceivers that are wrong and mistaken are so independent on causes and conditions, why that statement was so important is we need to come to bear in mind two key points. Sense consciousnesses can be mistaken, and if they are, it's independence on causes and conditions. So we keep our mind more open, which means when we perceive something, we investigate the causes to see is this perception valid or not, is it correct or not. We investigate the causes. This is important.
Now, 파시오 말에 디나와디 진가르시네 소수규 콘드 원케난 고레 세다 디네자 람사 페니미 와시 나와나시 데미디 베둑샤세 코나마루 야고 민두세 균제 제야 다디체네 안지고 말에 세다 디네게 나의 규디 가르치네 다보 규디 파 가르스난 그 규디 제바제 다 소수규 콘드를 시시우데 오면네 다 콘드가 나네 다보데 마 콘드지 마 시주제 시제는 콘드 시차외제 흘려 차세외제 지양제 따나 대신 예마 나와나시 난그 뒤에 어디심주시에 Then he had no to Chagres. She's not his absurd chores. Dambo and the Nigi Yahoo, Nandi, Ganes Nangu now and Ashinji, Yena said, Susu Julia, that Chata Chaku only killed, didn't march, Chapa Marle, she's in a little stavern, and the she now and Ashin Chala do him, Nang Yahoo Nangu de Minusibi, some late tone, didn't have to rest. She said, in that, my husband. Washel now and Ashin Lamsa Milia, Junji Chiada, the Jala and the Yahudus Lamsa Delia, the Damsin Chiada, the Yahu Mindusin, Damsin Jenny, Jedi, Lamsa Washel now and Ashin Dilla, Lamsa Jayo Mares or the Simjuro Chiche, and Gregory Chapures were. The Embarrow to the Jala and Yoga don't know what that need you show it on here, pay up to some new chiche. 出文下去拿了去接呢那个什么去带着哦爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹爹
So what I'm really hoping you're taking away from this presentation is that our natural confidence in our perceptions, whether sense perceptions, things we see, hear, smell, taste, or our thoughts, this confidence we have that things that we are correct, that this is starting to be shaken. And if you do meditate on this topic, then more doubt will creep in here. More doubt will creep in towards of the certainty that we feel that phenomena exist in the way that they appear to us, whether they appear to our senses in a particular way, or we think it, our conceptual consciousnesses, things we think about. And this is really important, because phenomena do not exist in the way that they appear to us, certainly if it's a conceptual consciousness. And with the direct perceivers, through our sense consciousnesses, those are not always direct perceptions. They may well be a similitude of a direct perception. But we may miss this, because we grasp at it as being correct when it's not. So here, the purpose of this text is to instill some uncertainty, so that we don't grasp so tightly that things are as we believe them to be, but we rather use our intelligence and we investigate. And then we come to see how things really are. So the examples that are always given are easy to understand, and that is done so that the student can gain some understanding and take that and apply it on the meditation cushion. So when one is angry, if one is really enraged and the world appears as red, perhaps even in that moment one can see that one can know that the world isn't really red, that there's something wrong here. So we can understand this with great ease. But what about when we're angry at a person? So when someone has said or done something and now we're angry. So if we have generated some doubt in the way that we perceive our objects, whether they are of mental consciousnesses or sense consciousnesses, that doubt can then interrupt this anger. And we may be angry, but we think, hang on, Maybe it doesn't exist in the way that it appears. Maybe there are some valid reasons for what happened. Maybe I misheard. Maybe they're coming from a different perspective. Whatever. And that instills some doubt. And that doubt serves to diffuse our anger. Similarly, if we see something desirable and that attachment arises, if we meditated well on this topic, not only will we observe the attachment, but immediately we'll be reminded, that object, does it exist in the way that it appears? Let me investigate. And you will already have experience of this. You've gone to a shop, you've seen, wow, this is great, and you're filled with the excitement and desire, and you buy it and take it home, and a little while later, it doesn't work so well, or it fades very quickly, and one's disappointed. And one realizes it doesn't exist in the way that it appeared in the shop. So we have some experience, and we build on this experience. And that is the purpose of this text, to instill some doubt, and through this doubt, we then investigate. We don't stay lost in our confusion. We investigate. We use our wisdom. We use our reasoning. And we investigate to see whether phenomena exist in the way that they appear or not.
And the Sheva Nanglaya, some of the skin to the Odisam Sedic, the Jinazuinane, Tajikarka Resha, some diata, the Nayeda, the Kasa, Sheva Nashin, the Midaba, or some diata, and they take a Tashir Homachi to be a Tommy Da, maybe, or some Yataya, and the Gasa, Raja to be said to be a Da, Mesu, or some Dadu, sitting on the Chevachi, Chevachi.
And to summarize what we've looked at this weekend, last night, this morning, we spoke about the three objects of yogic direct valid cognizer. We spoke about the importance of meditating on impermanence and coarse and subtle selflessness. And we spoke about how to meditate on subtle impermanence, seeing that impermanent phenomena have these two qualities of changing momentarily and coming arising in dependence on causes and conditions. And we spoke about how to engage in this meditation and its great importance. And we also spoke about the meaning of coarse and subtle selflessness, that the self being empty of being permanent, unitary and independent, and the self being empty of being self-sufficient, substantially existent. We spoke about what this means and how to meditate on this. And those meditations relate very closely to what we've been looking at here. Do phenomena exist in the way that they appear to our mind? And we spoke about last night how we tend to believe that phenomena are permanent when they are actually impermanent, and we grasp at them as being permanent. So they do not exist in the way that they appear. So this is something on a coarse level we understand intellectually, but if we need to meditate on this in far finer detail so that we can come to gain realization of it on subtler levels and thereby have an impact on us. And in these meditations, especially on selflessness, we come to see what is the cause of all negative karma, the cause that keeps us bound in cyclic existence, and that is the ignorance of self-grasping. The ignorance that grasps at the self as existing in a way that it doesn't appear. and that through this all our other afflicted minds come. And moreover, in our meditation, when we, especially as we're coming to see the validity of the self being empty, of existing in the way, or selfless, not existing the way that appears, we then come to see the great importance of this meditation. We value this opportunity that we have now to engage in these meditations and slowly start to transform the way that we interact with all our objects, whether they're objects of the sense consciousnesses or objects of our mental consciousness. And then, as we gain greater familiarity through meditating on this topic repeatedly over a sustained period, to start to naturally arise in us whatever appears to our sense consciousnesses or our mental consciousnesses doesn't necessarily exist in this way or not. We use our wisdom. And this process then starts to slow us down in that we no longer react so impulsively, but we think more, we use our intelligence more. And in this way, we start to change how we interact with the world, and we engage more readily in virtue, and with greater ease we turn away from non-virtue. So that brings us now to the end on looking at direct perception, which is the first of the sevenfold division of Lodic, of awareness and knowers. Next time, probably in a couple of weeks, we will start with the second, which is appropriately labeled as D, and that is inferential valid cognizers. So we'll start there then next week. So you would have all heard that we've temporarily lost the opportunity to be in the presence for an extended period of Lama Zopa. So this is losing such an opportunity is a great misfortune. So request that you make many prayers that this opportunity is actualized, that we do have the opportunity, and all his students have the opportunity to be in his presence and in the presence of all holy beings. Okay. And thank you. We'll conclude here. Thank you.